The New Testament word that describes the highest form of love is agape. It is found 106 times in Scripture, and it depicts God's unconditional, unending, and perfect love. God gives His love to every Christian and commands them to love others as He has loved them. Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, and you're listening to Fraser 365. This month, we're exploring what that kind of perfect love looks like, how God loves us, and how His love empowers us to love others here and now. So thanks for joining us, and we hope that this study will challenge you to show the love of Christ to everyone around you today and every day.
Thanks for joining us for day 23 of Love Now. Today's title is Evidence That You Love God. John G. Butler said, "If your relationship with God is not right, your relationship with others will not be right either." Our text today is Matthew 22, verses 39 through 40. "And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." The expert in the law asked Jesus for the greatest single commandment. In his response, Jesus gives two commandments because they are fundamentally connected to one another. The second half of the greatest commandment is proof that you have obeyed the first half. Loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind leads to loving your neighbor as yourself. No one can ever claim to love God if that love doesn't carry over to the way that they treat others. Jesus commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves. What did Jesus mean by our neighbor? Luke 10:29 records a lawyer asking Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In response, Jesus told a story that addressed that question and more. He described a scene in which a man is traveling between cities when he is attacked by robbers and left seriously injured on the verge of death. Over the next few hours, three men passed by as he lay dying on the roadside. The first two, who are from the same race and community and are religious leaders, ignore him. However, the third man, who comes from a different background and race, someone who, according to the cultural norms of the time, should have despised the injured man, chooses to help him. He tends to his wounds, takes him to an inn, pays the innkeeper out of his own pocket for an injured man's care, and promises to return to cover any additional expenses. So, when Jesus was asked about neighbors, he told a tale about a man who was traveling. It might seem unusual at first, but he was conveying that neighbors are not limited to those within your own community whom you know and love. The concept includes much more. Anyone you interact with, regardless of whether you know them, like them, or share similarities with them, is your neighbor. By incorporating racial tension into his example, Jesus made it clear that he meant everyone. That leads to another question. What does Jesus imply by saying, "Love your neighbor as yourself"? The phrase, "as yourself," emphasizes the importance of treating others with the same kindness, love, and respect that one would wish for oneself. If you would do it for yourself, do it for your neighbor. This correlates with what Jesus said earlier, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." Jesus gives an astonishing conclusion to his command. All the law and the prophets depend on loving God and others. Ben Witherington III declares, "Here, it seems Jesus is trying to help his audience see what is most important, and having realized what is most important, one should interpret the rest of the law and the prophets in a manner consistent with these first and second imperatives." A priority of loving God is connected to loving others, and both of these are foundational and fundamental to every other command found in Scripture. If you don't love God and others, obeying other commands is not possible without being hypocritical. Our love of God and others is what motivates us to obey all other commands. It reminds me of a story I heard once about a little boy who was being defiant and disobedient to his mother's commands. She punished him by sending him to stand in the corner with his nose facing the wall. As he stood there, his mother heard him mumble, "My body may be standing in the corner, but my heart isn't." This illustrates the essential nature of why we live for Jesus. If our heart isn't in it, then our obedience is through defiance rather than out of love. God wants us to obey Him out of our extreme passion for Him and genuine love of others. Obeying the twofold greatest commandment is critical to our journey with Jesus. Tom Wright helps us see this imperative in the big picture of God's plan for our lives. What Jesus says here about loving God and loving one another only makes sense when it is set within Matthew's larger gospel picture of Jesus dying for the sins of the world and rising again with the message of new life. That's when these commandments begin to come into their own, when they are seen not as orders to be obeyed in our strength, but as invitations and promises to a new way of life in which, bit by bit, hatred and pride can be left behind and love can become a reality. Fall deep in love with Jesus, and you will obey His commandments because of your desire for Jesus rather than your obligation to obey. When that becomes your regular way of life, you will come to realize what God's love is all about. Consider these questions. Why is it essential that you understand what Jesus means by neighbor? In what ways are you prone to demonstrate love only to people who are like yourself? How does loving God connect to loving others? How are they both linked to your need to love now? In what ways do you see all the law and prophets dependent on the command to love God and others? Rest today in God's love so that you can properly love others. Have a great day.